Okay, the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 65. We pick up our study in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. God deserves praise, because he is perfect in holiness, perfect in love, and perfect in everything that is good. Verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. God hears prayer. So, God hears when we talk to him. You have the attention of the eternal, all-powerful God when you pray. That's what makes prayer to God worthwhile. Verse 3. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. So, we were overwhelmed by sins, meaning we were full of sin. But God forgives them so that they won't be an issue for Christians on Judgment Day. And in God's eyes, we are so clean through Jesus Christ that we squeak. Verse 4. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Notice what it says in verse 4. Blessed are those who you choose to bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house. The unsaved can enjoy the things of this world, but only Christians, only those who are right with God, can enjoy complete satisfaction and complete contentment. Without a good relationship with God, a piece of the puzzle is missing. Verse 5, you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. God is the only hope of man, no matter where man may be, no matter who they are, where they're from. God is the only hope of man because he's the only one who is smart enough and holy enough and powerful enough to save a soul from hell. He's the only hope that we have. Verse 6. Who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength? Man thinks he has accomplished something by climbing a mountain, and that is a big accomplishment, but consider God. He's the one who made the mountains. This is just God's way of telling us again that he is bigger than even the biggest thing in this world. And we should remember that. You don't have to worry about God being able to handle any problem we may give him in prayer. Verse 7. Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations? Jesus turned the raging sea into calm waters. Now, that's something that only God can do. And if Jesus did it, it means he's God. Verse 8, those living far away, fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Those living far away, fear your wonders. Which means that, and this is true, no matter where you go, there is a respect for the Creator. I don't care. It can be on some remote island that has never been even discovered, that there are people there. They will fear God. In the farthest corners of this earth, in the deepest jungles, they're going to fear God. Now, they may not know his name like we do. They may not have the complete revelation like we do in Scripture, but they know that he's there, and they also know that they are accountable to him. Verse 9, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly the streams of God are filled with water, to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. When we look at the beauty of nature, we should think of God, because He's the one who made it. And we should thank God. It would be good to thank God, because He lets us enjoy it. 10. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. And that's the key. God blesses its crops. Gardens would be useless. You could plant the best seeds, and you could have the right dirt and the right fertilizer and all that stuff, and you could have the right amount of sunshine and the right amount of rain. Everything could be in place, but gardens would still be useless without the blessing of God. God is responsible for the fruits and the vegetables that we enjoy. Verse 11, you crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The reason God should be thanked for our meals is because the food, it's His food. The attitude should be, thanks God for sharing your food with us. Thanks God for sharing your food with me. That's the attitude that one should have at every single meal. Verse 12. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy, and they sing. Well, when you look at a nice country setting, just remember that it's right, and it looks right, and it is right, because God made it right. Nature praises God just by being there, just by being what God made it to be. In fact, whenever anything God has created, including people, does what it was intended by God to do, it praises and it honors God. All right, let's go into Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. See what God wants? Some people really have a screwy idea what God is like. He is not ornery. He is not in a bad mood. God did not create us to be miserable. And He didn't create us simply to have somebody to push around. God created us to enjoy Him and to be happy with Him. Verse 2. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Tell God you appreciate Him. No one likes being taken for granted, including God. Verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. There is joy beyond words for those who are right with God, but there will be terror beyond belief for those who oppose Him. Verse 4, all the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. They will one day, that's for sure. And that's because the only people left on earth will be the saved, who appreciate the Lord. Verse 5, come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. If you're excited about the goodness of God, you know what? You're going to want to talk about it, and you're going to want to tell others about it, like right here. Come and see what God has done. He's excited about God. He wants to talk about it and what God has done. You know, this idea that God should be locked away in a little corner room of our soul to be entered only for an hour on Sunday morning, that's foreign to Scripture. If God is real to us and He's important to us, then He should be a real part of our daily life and conversation also. 7. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. God sees what's going on in every single country. He's ruling. And He's going to demand an accounting someday too. Verse 8, praise our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Let it be heard. Let the sound of praise to God be heard. I don't care who thinks we're screwy. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. And the redeemed of the Lord ought to be proud to worship our God and our Savior. And there's something wrong if Christian doesn't want to. 9. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. If we're alive, it's because God has chosen to keep us alive. Every heartbeat and every breath is a gift from God because he could pull the switch anytime he wants. 10. For you, O God, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. And then he goes on to say, you brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Hard times is what he's talking about, but look in the end, but you brought us to the place of abundance. Hard times test our faith, and trouble refines our faith. Just the way it is. You see that an awful lot in Scripture, God reminding us of that. Pain, disappointment, sorrow. It has a way of picking the impurities out of our soul. And by that draws us closer to Christ. You know, it always comes down to this. No pain, no gain. I don't care if you're talking about lifting weights or working out. No pain, no gain. I don't care if you're talking about earning money. No pain, no gain. It's just a rule. It's a rule. There's no such thing as something for nothing. Somebody has to work for it. 13. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. A burnt offering was, back in the Old Testament days, a burnt offering was the offerer's pledge of complete dedication to God. 13. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. So at some point, the writer must have said, oh God, get me out of this mess. You get me out of this mess and I'll do anything you want me to do. You know, deliver me from this trouble and I'll be sold out to you for sure. And now he's coming to keep that vow. And that's good because many promises made to God during times of trouble are forgotten as soon as times get better. God sure does put up with a lot from his people, doesn't he? He is so good, so gracious to us. 15, I will sacrifice fat animals to you, and an offering of rams will I offer. I will offer bulls and goats. Notice what he says, I will sacrifice fat animals to you. Now, the way people look at fat today is totally different than how it was looked at back in Bible days and Old Testament days. Now everything is fat-free. And if something has a lot of fat, you know, it's like, oh, stay away, it's bad. Well, fat-free may be better for your health, but it, you know, in Bible days, the fat was the best part. That's where the flavor comes from. And the fat, God said, when you offer offerings to me, God said the fat belongs to me. That was saying, you make sure you give me the best part. And so here he says, I'm going to sacrifice fat animals to you. In other words, since that was considered the best part, he's giving God his very best. That's the principle we don't want to lose. God deserves our best. Not just our leftovers. You know, when you have someone special over for dinner, you probably don't have leftovers. You make the nicest meal that you possibly can. And God certainly deserves that kind of treatment from his children. 16, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. So notice, he's bragging on God. Telling people the nice things that God has done for us. That's bragging on God. And that's what should be done by God's people, really. Most people take God for granted. And so those of us who have been saved from hell should make up for that because God deserves it. 17, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If we're going to cry out to God in prayer, then praise for God should also be on our tongue. If we're going to pray, then we should praise. If we're going to say please, then we should say thank you. That's what Captain Kangaroo used to say. I remember when I was a little boy watching that show, he used to say, don't forget the magic words. Please and thank you. Thank you. And that applies to God too. If we're going to say God please, then we should also say God thank you. 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Unconfessed sin cuts off our prayers. If we want God to hear our prayers, then the first prayers we have to pray are prayers of confession. Get rid of all known sin. Confession opens up the lines between us and God. 19, but God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. And he will, as long as we're not living with sins that we haven't confessed or repented of. He will hear our prayer. 20, praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. God does not owe us anything. You know, even if there aren't any unconfessed sins in our life, blocking our prayers, he still doesn't owe us anything. And that's why the writer is so grateful that God heard his prayers and was actually good to him. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. In other words, may God give us the good that we don't deserve. And why should we want that? Well, verse 2, he answers that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations, so that people will know how wonderful God is. God, be gracious to us. Be better to us than what we deserve, so that the people of the world will know how wonderful you are. God is kind. Not enough people think about that, or even know that. Many people don't realize that all the good that they have comes from the good God. And they don't own it. It belongs to God, and he has just seen fit to bless them. 3. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Because that's what God deserves. And those who really know God will want that for him. Those who really know God, those who really know Jesus Christ, will want everybody to serve him. We want the very best for the one who is the best. 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. You know, when God is allowed to rule, there's joy. That's why he says, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly. When God is allowed to rule, there's joy. That's on a national scale. That's on an individual scale, too. When God is calling the shots in your life is better. At least on the inside, it's better. There's joy that wouldn't otherwise be there. 6. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. So, when we put God first, he makes us as productive as we possibly can be. Put God first. What does verse 6 say? Verse 6 say then? Then the land will yield its harvest, and our God will bless us. Well, we'll pick it up in Psalm 68 next time. So, until then, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.